Now, there's something about human nature that makes us, well, we've talked about love interaction. We like to socialize, even when we think the people around us don't want to talk. We just had a half hour talking about how they would want to talk with you. Here's another aspect, I think, of human nature. We love games. Video games for kids, maybe card games for older people. But when we're a little child, putting blocks together and trying to figure out little simple puzzles and draw crayons, it's all about games. And that evolves and develops as we get older. So do you like games? Dan Long, are you a game guy? Do you play?
I will play board games if I'm at family parties or something, or if I'm drinking a little bit. As far as video games go, I'm not much of a gamer now.
But when you say board games, are we talking Monopoly, Chutes and Ladders, the conventional kinds of?
Yeah, sometimes Monopoly, or maybe other like cerebral stuff, or Scattergories, just stuff that's fun to kind of relax and you could goof around with a little bit.
Yeah, but that's once in a great while. You're not doing this every three nights with the guys.
No.
Yeah. Now, I know a lot of people, when they hear the word board games, they think of Risk and Monopoly and the rest, but I don't mean those. I'm talking about games that really challenge the brain, non-electronic, not always simple, not easy to learn necessarily, but for those who play them, they are games, sometimes with curious names and very creative, exotic storylines, and they are games that have a rabid, popular base of players, and my son is one of them. Another is Josh Stein. He's a game guy, both as a player and as a small business owner. His business, Fair Game, is on Main Street, right there in downtown Downers Grove. This is our weekly entrepreneur segment, sponsored by Wintrust Financial. And I wandered in there a few weeks ago with my sons. And the oldest one, William, lives in Lincoln, Nebraska. Josh, when you and he were talking, it was like you were speaking another language. I didn't recognize but every third word, it seems.
Yeah, we get that a lot, Bill. It can be kind of a niche hobby, but a hobby is really what we call it.
Is it ever to be a mainstream hobby?
Well, I could argue that it is becoming a mainstream hobby right now. Just in the short amount of time that the store's been open, 4 years, we've seen a tremendous growth in the game manufacturing, and new games are coming out at an alarming rate right now.
But would you also agree that these games, and we'll talk about some specifics, are somewhat below the mass market radar? You don't see a lot of advertising for them. There are conventions, yes. There's a lot of Twitter traffic. There's a lot of social media interaction going on. But for the great masses, I'll be honest, I walked in there, I didn't recognize anything.
Sure. And I think that's kind of how we like it right now. It's still, there's a little bit of a stigma associated with a, quote, gamer.
That you're a nerd?
Right, it merges into the nerd.
You go to Star Trek conventions and you watch Doctor Who. And
you dress up in costumes, yeah. and it's kind of a mashup of a lot of stereotypes. Well, that's not me, and that's not the majority of our customers, and I don't think it's a majority of what we would call those gamers as well. And I think that might be part of why, as you say, a lot of these games are under the radar and are not something more mainstream.
However, there are in Chicagoland several stores, not just yours, that sell these games, including bigger stores than yours.
Yes, there are. And we're seeing more of the games aside from Monopoly or in Chutes and Ladders that you mentioned earlier in the big box stores, even Target and Toys R Us, which is, I think, overall a good thing. We're getting exposure to those games that are more cerebral and more social, and they make you think more than just sit there and roll dice. And
you would
and
say they are more satisfying games.
Certainly, I feel that way, yes. Yeah.
But you said something earlier that was curious. You said, we want to keep it that way. You want to keep it sort of within a narrow community. Now, you as a businessman would not be saying that.
I'm a funny businessman. So the store is it's a business out of passion and out of my love for games and also a love for the community that those games bring out. I have a family, and I saw what was happening with video games with my kids and myself, and how while they're fun and certainly they're very mainstream, much more mainstream than a lot of these games we're talking about, I feel like they're somewhat isolating. And I wanted to bring something to my family and my community that's a little bit more, what I would say, socially healthy.
Give us some titles. Give us some rudimentary thumbnail rules and objects of these games to give us a sense of of what we're talking about.
Okay, so I'll go through. We have our three classic, what we call gateway games, and gateway is the term to get people out of playing Monopoly and Scrabble and into something a little bit more, I hate to use the word complicated, but a little bit more involved. The first one is a game called Settlers of Catan, which is now, I think, on its close to 20 years, been around. And it is a game for 3 to 4 players as it comes out of the box. And it's about trading. You're building and trading resources and scoring victory points. The second game is one called Ticket to Ride, which has a theme about trains and building routes around the United States. There's other versions with different parts of the world. And at its roots, that's a set collection game. You're collecting sets of cards. And the third game we talk about is a game called Carcassonne, based off of French city. And that's what we call a tile laying game, where you're putting tiles down. It's out of the three, I think, a little bit the lightest game. It's easier to carry on a conversation, have a glass of wine, and not concentrate too much onto it. But it also has a very deep strategy behind it that you can play with or play not, depending on how you want to deal with it.
Now, I would say a lot of people listening are probably thinking, well, I'm still not convinced. Here's what was convincing to me. When my son William, when we were visiting him in Lincoln, Nebraska, just had a sit down with his brother, my other son, Marshall, and it was amazingly engaging. These games are a lot of fun. And so I think the point is, you got to try it to get it.
Yeah, and another thing I think we're living with a stigma of the war games of the 70s and 80s, which is how I grew up with games. And those were very complicated. The rule books were written like a lawyer's manual, and turned a lot of people off just because it's very hard to even understand how to play the game properly. A lot of these newer games are very simple to learn, but have a strategy that's complicated to master. And that's the secret, I think, for a lot of these newer games.
Yeah, but it's also helpful when you're playing with somebody who understands how to teach. My son goes to conventions and he teaches people, and that's what he was doing with us. He understands sort of how the brain works and what to introduce at what time so that you get it, and not to layer on or just be impatient if you can't figure it out right away.
Sure. And gameplay also, just sitting down and playing those games. Learning by example, I think, is a very popular way that we learn anything. That's how we learn when we're young, I would guess. And nowadays, modern technology, I will send a lot of our customers to YouTube to learn how to play some of the games that they buy.
Yeah, you can learn how to tie a bow tie and play a game there. It's an amazing resource. You know, when my sons were in your store, I felt it was a very socially alive place. People were testing out things. You had a table where people could engage. And I think you told me that you actually have activities where the store is a setting for coffee and tea and sandwiches and cakes and playing games. And,
right.
And it's a venue for engagement because of the that game playing is a very social thing. You don't do it by yourself typically.
Yes, and it's not unique to Fair Game, but we have a large demo game library that are all open copies of games, and we encourage people to come in and sit down at one of we have 5 or 6 tables that we try to leave open, especially on the weekends, for people to come in and try. The staff is very versed in many of the games and can teach them, at least give people a flavor for them very quickly. And a lot of it is just getting people to realize that these games aren't as complicated and as hard to master as they think.
Oh, but they can be.
Don't put up barriers.
No, well, there are. I mean, I'm not saying that I've experienced,
oh, sure.
But I know that there are people in that world that want those games that are very complex that maybe go on for weeks at a time.
Yeah, the term for those in the gamer circle is a grognard, and the
you got your own term.
Sure, nice. And those games are more of a niche within the niche, and we deal with those, and I enjoy them myself very much, but those games will not see as much play and they won't see as many sales just because they take too long, frankly.
Yeah. Well, if you are a gamer, or if this sounds interesting to you, or if you've got a question about it, why don't you give us a ring? You can also text us at the same number, 312-981-7200. Talking with Josh Stein from Fair Game in Downers Grove, I'm Bill Mahler here on 720 WGN Chicago. All right, back with Josh Stein. He runs the store that is his passion, called Fair Game on Main Street, in Downers Grove on Main Street. And you know, it is your passion. You know, there's something about walking into a store where the proprietor is on duty right there. Your wife was there too, right?
She was, I came in there. Yep.
And, you know, you infuse a certain energy of that passion within the atmosphere itself. It's very well lit. It's not overwhelming in the number of games on the shelves, but the whole thing is a very pleasant experience. And I think that's simply because you're doing it not for the money, but because it's absolutely a labor of love.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate that. It certainly is. And we want to project that to our customers. It's not something that we're just trying to sell somebody a game and they're going to leave.
Yeah,
go home and you write them off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cha-ching, another sale.
We want return customers. We want people to be happy with the games they buy.
All right. Sue has a good question. Hi, Sue. Go ahead. You're on WGN.
Hi, yes, good afternoon. Yes, my boyfriend is blind, and I'm not. And anyway, I just wondered if the guest had any suggestions as to games that both parties can participate in.
Thinking.
Well, so, Sue, the first thing that comes to mind for me is just a genre of games we call role-playing games. Are you familiar with Dungeons & Dragons and the ilk?
Yes, I'm familiar with it.
So, you know, if you can get beyond the stereotype that has been with us, unfortunately, since the 70s and 80s about Dungeons & Dragons and go past that, role-playing games are really just a storytelling game. One of you takes on the role as a game master or kind of the author, if you will, of the story and helps move the story along. The other people are playing as characters, player characters, we call them, within that story. Of course, Dungeons & Dragons is fantasy-based, but there's any genre you can imagine, all the way from science fiction, fantasy, to Coen Brothers films.
That's terrific.
Yeah, I mean, you don't need to have any visuals to that at all, because really all of that's taking place in your head.
So would Sue come to your store and you help her with getting that?
Certainly. Yep. We have a selection of role-playing games and lots of role players that we can talk to.
Bring them along.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Sue, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
What a great idea. I mean, that's true. I mean, you never heard that question before, have you?
I have not.
Yeah. Because I know it's tough, because you're probably thinking, okay, it doesn't have to have, it can't have cards, can't have dice, can't have any visual elements, but it's still a fun game to play. Let's see. I'm just waiting for this line to clear. We'll talk to a Chris who, there he goes. Hey, Chris. Chris, you're on WGN. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was looking and listening to your radio program, great program, and you were talking about the YouTube instructions and whatnot and how to teach players rules and so forth. And I'm just surprised that a lot of the game publishers do not include some sort of cheat sheet. Very, very few do. It's a simple laminated card that players can use to either how to play the game or how to play along into the game and so forth. And I've gone to the trouble of creating my own cards and printing them and laminating for new players that I introduce new games to, and they catch on quickly. But I'm just surprised how many publishers don't include a simple little piece.
Is that true, Josh?
Well, there's kind of a dichotomy there, and I don't know if it's a philosophical argument. Some publishers will not do it, and other publishers, we're starting to see more of them, Chris. But again, the wonders of the internet and all the people like yourself that make their own cheat sheets, reference sheets, setup guides, and whatnot. If you've heard of the website BoardGameGeek.com, all one word.
I've been a member for years. And
of course.
That's why I bring up the topic is because of the fact I go to BoardGameGeek and I print out my own cheat sheets. But I got dozens and dozens of games, and then I have to print them. And not all these files that you download are pretty or nice or explanatory. So I have to go through that. And then I go to my local print shop to laminate it and trim it down. And then I'm saying, what am I doing? I got dozens of games with dozens of cheat sheets. Why doesn't anybody include these in the games? Yeah. It's just a simple, you know, I don't know if I'm allowed to mention any particular games.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, Hive is one where it.
Josh is shaking his head.
I love the game Hive, but the rules are not done very well.
Let's not get too inside here, but yeah. Hey, Chris, I got to let you go. Thanks for calling.
Not a problem. Thank you.
I've got a lot of texts here. Is there a diplomacy gaming community in Chicago?
There is. I don't have a URL off the top of my head to leave.
Call Fair Game later today.
Call Fair Game or use Google. There's an active diplomacy group in the Chicagoland area.
630 asks, is there a recommendation for a game for active boys ages 8 and 11? You can't ask follow-up questions, but
if there's siblings, our go-to game for that kind of stuff, especially with the boys, is a game called Castle Panic. It's a cooperative game, so they're playing together to beat the game instead of to beat each other.
All right, good call, Dale. Welcome. You're on WGN. We're talking games.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
I'm actually driving at the moment on my way to a gaming day with a group of friends. But I did want to mention, you mentioned a number of the entry-level games, and I'm big on teaches. I'm big on getting people into the activity. So you mentioned Ticket to Ride. I absolutely agree. It's a great entry-level game, very easy to understand. You can have it sit down and have somebody play, and we did that New Year's Eve. It was great. But one of the great card games is Flux, where you don't have to know anything. It's a great teach with 3 to 4 people, and you're playing the game the very first time you look at your cards.
Josh is shaking his head in accord.
That's right. Dale, I think it's 2 rules, right, with Flux?
Yeah.
You pick a card and you play a card.
Play one.
Yep.
Yep, and then everything changes. There are no goals at the beginning, and the goals are developed throughout the game. But at any moment in time, you don't have to ask anybody what the rules are. The rules are laying in front of you. The goal of the game is laying in front of you. And it's not just a basic game, but they've got anything you might possibly want. They've got Family Flux, Eco Flux.
Okay, but it's FLUX, right, Dale?
FLUX.
Two X's.
Looney Labs out of Maryland. Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for your call.
Highly recommend, yep.
All right, thanks. That's a hearty endorsement. Hey, Rebecca. You're on WGN.
Hi.
Hiya.
Hi, I have a couple questions for Jess. One is, my boyfriend and I have been playing Catan and Carcassonne and some of the other games you've been talking about. We actually got my son the DC Comics Deck Builder game.
Wonderful.
And we really like that one.
Sure.
But I was wondering maybe some next steps, kind of taking it to the next level.
So at this point, I usually recommend, do you have a cooperative game in your library, Rebecca?
Not really.
So I would pick up one of those. How old is your son?
He's 12.
So you're pretty much open at that point. Pick a theme. I mentioned Castle Panic. That's a good one. That's a fantasy theme. One of the penultimate favorites with all gamers is a game called Pandemic, which is about trying to cure the global pandemic.
Yeah, I've heard of that one.
That one's fantastic. There's Forbidden Island. There's Flashpoint. Those are all cooperative games. Every gamer should have at least one of those in their library.
Awesome. Perfect. And I have one more question. Do you guys have any events at your store for Valentine's Day?
There's an idea. I bet they do now.
That's a lot of planning in advance, Rebecca.
Say that again?
That's a lot of planning in advance for us. We're trying to plan further.
It's 5 weeks away.
Yeah, that's I'm looking over here at my wife who's in the studio with it, and she's saying we're going to do something.
Well,
so
how about on the radio?
I'll be there. How about that?
All right. So they're coming. You better have something for them.
It may
too.
Be a love letter tournament.
What day of the week is the 14th?
Anybody? I don't know.
All right. Yeah. Well, if it's a Sunday, we're in trouble.
Right.
All right. Thanks for your call.
Well, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Good gateway game for a 6-year-old.
Ooh.
5 seconds.
Timeline.
Okay. So your favorite board game, we have several people, including Greg online, who
okay.
wants to ask you that.
Yeah. Okay. So this question I get asked a lot, and I have to evade it in some way because it really depends on who and how many people I'm playing with. If I look around our store and I have to pick one, it's a game called Twilight Struggle, which is definitely over in that right-hand side of complicated and a head-scratcher.
Does your wife like that one too?
No. It's a game based on the Cold War. Twilight Struggle comes from Kennedy's speech about entering a long twilight struggle against the USSR, and it's a political game. It's fascinating.
And what is your favorite game? Just yell it out. Stinking.
Flashpoint.
Flashpoint, which is it's a cooperative game where every player is playing a fireman.
So, are there new games being generated all the time, or
yes.
are these timeless games you're talking about?
Twilight Struggle, the deep political one, that's been around for a number of years. I think that's going to be timeless. Flashpoint is a newer game, but it's finding its niche. We do see flash in the pans, games that come and they go, and that's just part of the industry, and I think it's part of the health of the industry. We're seeing that.
All right, 773 says Valentine's is a Saturday. You're open for business, Josh.
You bet. Okay.
All right, it's on the record. It's going to happen. You're going to have people storming your doors if you don't do this now. So Valentine's Day at Fair Game in Downers Grove on Main Street. They're having a special. What's it going to be like?
Love will be in the air, and it'll probably involve a game called Love Letter.
All right. Thank you so much. Say goodbye.
Thank you. Thanks, Bill.